Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post weekend postcast, and what a weekend it is. Bruce Millington joined by Richard Birch and David Jennings to take you through 2 days of non-stop TV action. We've got the Dublin Racing Festival, some real class acts on show at Leopardstown on Saturday and Sunday. There's 5 races at Sandown on Saturday, all on ITV4. There's also 3 from Musselburgh, 1 at Wetherby, and they're also taking in some Leopardstown. So there's loads going on, and then ITV4 are back on air on Sunday for Leopardstown and Musselburgh. Without further ado, let's get stuck into the action, and we'll start with the 5 at Ascot on Saturday, all on ITV4, as I say, and we start with the 1:15. It's the 2-mile Virgin Bet Handicap Chase. We have 8 runners, and it's a wide open affair. Gunsight Ridge is roughly 3-1. Frero Bamboo is 9-2. Tamarok de Matin, 11-2. Rooker Boy is $6. He's 7. Mile Mate Bundoran is 10. So is Moonlighter. So is Hatcher, 20. No, sorry, Hatcher is 20. So not much between them on paper and on the book. Will there be much between them at the end? We'll start with you, Birchie. First of all, Birchie, how are you feeling going this weekend? Confident?
Yeah, very. Yeah. Good opportunities, I think.
Oh, I like to hear that. Right then, coming in, what are you serving us up first?
Right, here's a good one. Gunsight Ridge. Good price at 3-1. Good favourite. Only gone up £5 for winning over course and distance last time. Going to be dry ground this time, but that won't bother him. He's only 7 years old. Very progressive at the foot of the weights. I think he's got a big chance. First race for favourite backers.
Excellent. Birchie's off and running. DJ, what are you going to do? Are you going to fall in line with Birchie, or are you going to plough your own furrow?
No, I'm on Birchie's back here. We're going in together. I fancied Gunsight Ridge when he won last time at Sandown. I think I could have napped him on the show. But the thing about Gunsight Ridge is, and anybody that backed him, I'm sure there's listeners who did back him, for the whole duration of that race, it looked like there was only going to be one winner, and that was Gunsight Ridge. And you kind of are a bit surprised when you see the winning distance was a length and 3/4, because it looked a foregone conclusion the whole way. For that reason, he's only going to £5, and I think he's still really well handicapped. Like Birchie, 3-1 is a big price.
Okay, the boys agree on the 1:15 with Gunsight Ridge. Let's see what they make with the 1:50 at Sandown. Again, 2 miles is the trip, and it's the Virgin Bet Contenders Hurdle. It's a listed race. Just the 5 runners, but it's a head scratcher. Song for Someone, 9-4. Guard Your Dreams, 5-2. Goshen, 3-1. Global Citizen, 7s. And Hunter's Call, 12. Have you got a clear view of this one, DJ, or is it a bit of a muddle?
This is some bag of tricks, isn't it?
I would have thought so, yes.
Sure, look, what on earth is Goshen going to do? Who knows what Goshen is going to do? Only, no, Goshen, to be honest, himself doesn't even know what he's going to do. He actually ran a remarkable race at Linkfield last time, and he's probably the most likely winner of this contest, which is ridiculous to say, to be honest. But I won't be having a bet. I don't have a strong fancy, but if 70% Goshen shows up and does things reasonably well, he'd probably win.
Yep. Can you have faith in Goshen, Birchie?
You can't have faith in him, but I still think he might bolt up here. He's so superior to the others, and if he does get it right, and you know he hung ludicrously around left-handed Lingfield, he's going the right way round this time. The ground's not going to be ideal. I think he wants soft or heavy ground, you know, ideally. But he does act on good to soft, what it's going to be. And I think reading between the lines, I think Gary Moore really expected him to come back to his best at Lingfield. And if he hadn't have, you know, proved almost unsteerable, I think he probably would have done. So this is definitely the last chance saloon. I'm in it. I'm going to give him one more chance.
Okay, the boys both agree on some 3-1 shots in their first 2 races. Only 5 runners in our next as well, the 2:20, 2.5 miles for the Virgin Bet. Silly Isles Novice Chase, a grade one that has been won by some real class acts in recent times. Defi de Sol, top notch. Bristol Demai, to name but 3. Lom Press looks quite decent, I think. He's 5-6 for Venetia. It's 15-8 Pick Doherty, 10 Mr. Coffee, 20 Fugitive, and 25 Gladiator Allen. Are you impressed with Lom Press, Birchie?
I am, particularly his jumping. He's very, very fluent. He's very economical. I could see him getting into a lovely rhythm over those sand down, you know, those 7 fences down the back. And I think he'll take all the beating. Three from three over fences this season. And of course, you know, in this race, Paul Nichols has got the second favourite. and this is going to be a recurring theme over the weekend. If you look at the stats over the last fortnight, he hasn't had a winner for a while, and some of his horses have run really below par. So if you're backing a Paul Nicholls horse this weekend, you've got to take it on trust that there isn't something wrong with the stable.
Are we still in that kind of time of the winter when he gives them their flu jabs, and they do tend to have a little bit of a sort of lull?
I think we are, but I think it's more. It seems to be a lot more pronounced this time. He normally does have a few winners, but certainly the last 10 days he hasn't. And I watched one of his horses in the week. During the week, it was what was it called? Stratagem in the Hunter Chase at Ludlow or somewhere like that. And he had a lot in hand on official ratings. He ran absolutely deplorably. So I think it's a case of best watched at the moment.
Okay, excellent. Right then, Birchie's on the Fav. Who are you on, DJ?
Yeah, Birchie was summing up Long Press's jumping there, and he was almost right. He's a very good jumper. He's very efficient, but he's also very left. He does veer to his left at most fences. Now, I did a show earlier on in the week, and I said Long Press was the lay of the weekend. The closer it's getting to the race, the less sure I am about that, because Long Press is very good. And I did look back at his race at Exeter when he beat Goodside Ridge, who we spoke about earlier on in the show, and he wasn't as left as I thought he was when I watched it the first time. He did go slightly to his left, but not as much. I think he's going to get away with it, and that coupled with Nicholls's form with Pictori, I fancy Pictori earlier in the week. I've turned full circle because I think Long Press is a very good horse, and I think he'll get away with going right-handed, and I won't be backing him, but I do think he's the most likely winner.
Righty-ho, 255, 3 miles, Virgin Bet Heroes Handicap Hurdle, a grade 3, 18 runners, plenty of extra places, I'm sure, shop around. 13-2 Green Book is the Fav, along with Re Ocker. And then it's 7-1 Beauport, 8 Albies Legend, 10 Born Patriot and Call Me Lord, 11 Bar. My eye is drawn down the list to Easy's Land, who's running in this for his new trainer, John Joe O'Neill. Let's see who the lads fancy. David Jennings.
Yeah, he's running off 150 here, which will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And he's obviously been aimed at the cross country at Cheltenham. I like two in this. The first one is reasonably obvious. It's Rioja. Like 130, I think, is more than fair for what he's achieved so far. I know you can use a line with Gelino Bello, but I thought last time at Kempton, it was pretty straightforward. He travelled really powerfully through the race, and I think there's loads more to come from Rioja. So, you know, at the price at the minute, you're getting 13-2 about him. I think that's a little bit of value. I could see him going off about 9-2 favourite. And the other one is the Irish representative, Born Patriot, who was second to Kansas City Chief in a Pretemps qualifier at Cheltenham in October. We haven't seen him since. Kevin Brogan has been booked to take off £3. He's got some decent pieces of form along the way, so he has, which makes me think he's only 6. We probably haven't seen the best of him yet, a bit like Rioja. And he was much bigger prices earlier in the week, but there's still 10-1 available with one firm. So I think he'll go off a bit short. My two against the field are Born Patriot and Rioja.
Thanks, DJ. Birchie, who have you sussed for us here, mate?
There's a key form line in this race. It's back in November, Sandown 2 miles, 4 furlongs, when Je Suis Teak beat Beauport by a length and a half. Now, Je Suis Teak is now £8 worse off with Beauport, but he's improved in leaps and bounds since and was very, very impressive at Haydock last time. Going to be completely different ground, but I think just we take he's going the right way, and he's going to be bang there at the finish. The only thing is, as I said, Beauport's better off at the weights. He's lightly raced this season. He's going up in trip, which is certain to suit him. And I think he's been laid out for a pretty valuable race such as this. I'm not going to have a bet in the race, but if I was, I would have 2 win bets on Je Suis Teak and Beauport.
I tell you what, Birchie, since you moved to the Isle of Wight, your French accent has come on a treat. Marvellous. Right. We'll stick with you.
Better
for
not
the
move
three...
to Jersey then, had I?
Yeah, well, is that the next step? Is that what
well, it could be.
Do?
You never know. You never know.
It's meant to be nice,
further
that.
And further away.
Absolutely. 3:30 Sandown, the 3 mile Virgin Bet Masters handicap chase. 8 to go to post, and 5-star getaway is the favourite, 7-2. Tricky old card, this Sandown one. 4-1 Farinet, 9-2 Line Lee King, and 7 Bar. Birchie, sticking with you.
I like 5-star getaway. He's got course form. He's a hugely progressive horse. I think he won with more in hand than the official winning margin at Kempton over Christmas suggests. A really likeable horse, good jumper. I think there's still more to come. I like Christian Williams with Staying Chasers. I like the fact that he's got course winning form round Sandown, and I think he's destined for better things. I think this is probably a stepping stone for something like the Ultimar at Cheltenham or maybe the Grand National Meeting. I think he'll win.
There's a quiet assurance and a confidence about the way you're delivering your tips today, Birchie. I like it. DJ, what do you fancy here?
Oh, Bruce, this is like Bruce Millington defending referees. This is very predictable. It is Deja Abba.
Oh, of course it is, yes. So I should have known, yeah. I was thinking Keith, if Keith had been on, he would have tipped Farinet and you'd have tipped Deja Abba. Yeah, yeah, it's gone.
And you know what? Because of that, Bruce, because I want to kind of, you know, go a bit mad and try and not be so predictable, I actually went through this race doing everything I could not to tip Deja Abba. And then I came back and I was like, holy God, he's 7-1. He should be maybe 4-1. Like, his form at Sandown is just brilliant. Like, he's been there 3 times. He's won twice. He was just beaten in nose by Highland Hunter back in December off 140. He's only off 142 now. Like, if you look back at the Welsh National, for I would say 3/4 of that, he travelled quite well, I thought. And I don't know what happened turning in. Maybe it just might be that his best form has to be at Sandown. It looks that way when you look through his form lines. He's going to be hard to beat here, Bruce.
Okay, thanks, chaps. That was Sandown. Now we're going to get stuck in some superb racing at Leopardstown.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back. Okay, let's move across to Leopardstown now. It is day one of the Dublin Racing Festival. 4 grade ones. One of them's on ITV4, the rest are on RTE, and of course, Racing TV. You will not want to miss any of them. We'll start with the 105. 2 miles and 6 furlongs is the trip for the Nathaniel Lacey and Partners Solicitors. 50,000 something. Our race card doesn't have a sign on it. It's probably a euro or a pound. Cheltenham bonus for stable staff. Novice hurdle. What a lovely bonus. 5-2 Hollow Games for Gordon, Elliot and Davy Russell is Fav. And then it's 4-1 Manella Crooner. Grand Jury is 11-2. Braun is 13-2. So is Eric Bloodaxe, the quaintly named Eric Bloodaxe. 14's Manella Kakuna and 33-1 Freedom to Dream. Now, some of these races, DJ, this weekend are going to be fairly... It'll feature a lot of short favourites, but this one's competitive, isn't it? Who do you like?
It is, yeah. What Do You Want is out of it now. He's a non-runner, so that makes it a little easier. I like Manila Crooner as a horse, and just about for this race, but I like him even more for the Albert Bartlett at Cheltenham. There's still some 10-1 available for that. I think that will be far more his cup of tea than this. Cheltenham, new course, long run from the second last to the last, a real stamina sapping test. That's going to suit him. He might just lack the pace of Hollow Games. I do think it is between the two Elliott stable mates, but I liked what I saw from Manila Crooner at Punchestown. Ivan, who was beaten 11 lengths by him at Punchestown, is not a bad horse. He was 4 to Eric Bloodaxe at Limerick, and I just liked the way he swatted him away. The form prior to that, when he split Journey with me, who Tom Siegel tipped up in his Pricewise column for the Ballymore earlier on this week, and Kilcrut, who won very impressively on Monday. That is strong form. And I think Manila Crooner, he's a kind of under the radar, but I don't think he'll be that way after the weekend.
Do watch your bets, folks. We've got Manila Crooner, who DJ has tipped, and Manila Kakuna, who he hasn't tipped. Birchie, fire away with your first winner on your first Irish tip for us.
We'll go for Hollow Games, play it safe. I watched the video of his last defeat, which was where he lost his unbeaten record. I didn't think he was in any manner discredited or disgraced. I'll give him another chance. I think he might win.
Lovely stuff. Right then, let's see where our next race is. The 135, Leopardstown on Saturday, and 2 miles is the trip for the Racing TV. €12 per month this weekend only. Spring Juvenile Hurdle. Last week, I was absolutely blown away by Pied Piper. I thought he was brilliant. I lumped on him for the triumph hurdle. But, of course, his main foe, potentially, is who lives just down the road in another area of Gordon Elliott's box, is Phil Dawe. And he puts his unbeaten record on the line here against Vauban from the Willie Mullins yard. It's 6-4 Phil Dawe, 13-8 Vauban, 7-1 Ekar Allen, and 10 bar. Birchie, this should be some race, this shouldn't it? What did you make of Pied Piper last week first?
I totally agree with you. What price did you get?
I got 3-1, and then I took some 5-2 non-runner no bet because everyone's saying he might go for the Supreme or whatever, which I don't think he will.
It was brilliant, wasn't he? I mean, he didn't come off the bridle.
No, it quickened and didn't come off the bridle. It's not like he built up a lead and then Davy Russell just coasted home on him. He was going away from them with Davy Russell sitting motionless. It was extraordinary.
Mm. I like the way the commentator said as well that here comes the horse in the red and white. Bet you didn't.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Oh, you would get that, wouldn't you? Yeah.
All
right, so what happens here? What does Phil Dawe...
Do you want to elaborate there for somebody that doesn't know what's...
That's the Charlton Athletic colours, DJ. Sorry, mate, yes.
Right, okay. I totally agree with you, Bruce. Fedor, he's won three races and he's got no penalty for this race. Whereas Vauban hasn't won a race and he's running off the same sort of the same weight. The one horse in here that I don't like is the Tide Turns. I followed him on the flat when he was trained by Sir Mark Prescott. I thought he went the wrong way at the end of his sort of career with Sir Mark. So I wouldn't have any faith in him. So, no, Fedor for me.
Who for you, DJ?
If that's the way you're thinking, Birchie, you're a Pied Piper fan. He was going the wrong way as well for John Gosden.
Fair point.
Yeah, sorry about that now. I just had to pick you up on that. Sorry about that.
That's right.
Bruce, I have no idea which of these two will win. I do think it's obviously between Phil Dawe and Vauban. Like Vauban, I have to say, I was at Leperstown over Christmas all 4 days. And I would say Vauban was mentioned to me before he ran a Punches 10. If I was doing over and unders, it would have been 15 times. That's the over and under. Roughly, that's how many times people said to me, did you hear about Vauban? He's supposed to be brilliant. And you know what? He could be brilliant. I know Pied Piper beat him and Gordon said that Pied Piper would come on a ton because he'd only had him a couple of weeks. So putting two and two together and getting five, thinking that because Pied Piper won, that Vauban is really good, is probably not the right way to do things because Pied Piper was a better horse at Cheltenham than he was at Punchestown. That said, is there any reason why Vauban can't improve? It was just, you know, first start for Willie Mullins. He'd obviously won a couple of races in France. He did look a bit all over the place up the home straight. He didn't really get running in a straight line. He was switched after the last. And I can see why people fancy Phil Dawe because he's done it. He's been there. He's done it. You know what you're going to get. But there must be some sort of a chance, especially like he has the tongue strap on this time. There must be some sort of a chance that Vauban is really good too. So, Bruce, I have no idea which of the two is going to win.
Who's going to win the triumph at this stage, DJ?
Oh, Pied Piper for me.
He was great, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was just beautiful to watch.
I'm glad both of you endorse my view. That's good news. 210 Leopardstown is the 2 mile, 1 furlong. Patrick Warden co-solicitors Irish Arkle. Blue Lord heads the market at 15-8, and then it's 9-4 Riviere d'Etel, 4-1 Auton Couleur, 9-2 Saint-Sam, and we've got a couple of 66-1 shots in there as well. Enna Gamine won this last year. Is there a horse as good as that in here, DJ?
I think there could be, Bruce. I think there could be. I think Blue Lord is brilliant. I really do. He's out to 15-8 now. He was a much shorter price all week. He's drifting. There's plenty of money for Riviere d'Etel, and I know a lot of Shrewdies fancy her. But to me, Blue Lord has been utterly flawless in two starts over fences. Would have been a clear second in the Supreme last year, had he not fallen at the last. He was second to Bob Ollinger at Nace in a grade one. He was beaten 6 lengths by Appreciated in a grade one at Leopardstown. In the grand scheme of things, that's pretty solid novice hurdle form for a horse that is just your absolute chaser. He is beautiful to look at. And I think after this race, he'll be even money for the Arkle. I think he'll win impressively, Blue Lord.
Ooh. By the way, DJ, the going at Leopardstown is yielding. For those of us, not those of us, but those people who don't
follow... Here we go.
No, for those people who don't follow Irish racing as closely as you do, what does yielding mean? Where is it in the British kind of scale of ground?
It is in between good to soft and soft.
Okay.
Sorry, it's not. Hold on. It is in between good to yielding and yielding to soft. It's in between good to yielding.
Why doesn't Irish racing just get rid of yielding? Why does it need yielding?
Yeah, I know. It is the middle between good and soft. So that's what it is. It's the middle ground. And
it's
just
a
on
stupid
the ground,
word, anyone. No one knows. It's just absolute nonsense. We make racing far too complicated for people. And yielding does not help. This isn't anti-Irish. It's nothing to do with that at all. There's plenty of things in British racing that are utterly ridiculous. But just do away with it. Have good to soft, soft. That's it. Am I right, Birchie?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got that off my chest. Right, anyway, Birchie, who wins this?
I agree with DJ. Blue Lord looks potentially special. Bob Ollinger appreciate it, form over hurdles. Can't knock him.
Lovely. Excellent. Short and sweet from Birchie. 3:15, the race of the day on Saturday. 3.5 miles for the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. We've got 8 runners. Kemboy is fav at 3-1. Frodon is 100-30. It's Minella Indo at 7-2. 9-2, Asterion Falange. 12, Janadil. 14, Delta Work. 40, Conflated. 66, Cirlos Emery. What a race, Birchie. Who crosses the line in front?
I've sided. It's a real puzzler. But I've sided with Kemboy purely on the fact that he always runs his race around this track. And he still looks as good as ever. Originally, I fancied Frodon. There's no way Paul Nicholls would be going over there if he didn't think Frodon was going to win. I mean, that's the end of story. But say the Nicholls form over the last 10 days in particular hasn't been good. And you need to have absolutely everything in your favour to win Grade Ones. So that's why I've gone off Frodon. I think he's probably the best horse in the race. Minella Endo, obviously, you know, didn't perform at Kempton. There's concern there. Could bounce back, but I think the most likely horse to give his run in is Kemboy, so I'll side with him.
Okay, Minella Indo's the real unknown in here, isn't he, Birch, DJ? I mean, on the one hand, you could say that last year's Gold Cup just you know, knocked him sideways and that's him done. On the other, if he's anything like that run, he wins this, doesn't he? So what do you make of Minella Indo? And if he's not your tip, who is?
Yeah. Valid point, Bruce. He's £9 clear in official ratings, but obviously he got that rating on the back of beating that Plutera in the Gold Cup and Album Photo. Yeah, you'd have to be a little bit worried. He does seem to save his best form for Cheltenham, and his Leperstown record is quite poor in his two runs. He's obviously fallen, and he was 4-5 in this race last year. Look, shoot me now. Just
You're going to fall into this trap, aren't you? Go on, away you go. Go on.
Yeah, I know. Shoot me now. Put me out of my misery. I know, but look, I analysed this race and I did the premium analysis in it for tomorrow's Racing Post, and again, like a little bit like Deschab earlier on at Sandown, I really did not want to tip Asterion Falange. I really didn't. when you actually dissect this race and you say to yourself, is Frodon as good as he is? Is he as good as he was? He's not getting better anyway. Definitely not. Similar comments apply to Kemboy. Minella Indo has definitely not been as good this season as he was in last year's Gold Cup. And then you're on to Delta Work, who is definitely not as good as he was. There is a chance here, Bruce, that the only potential improver in this race is Asterion Falange. Now, hear me out for one second. I'll be as quick as I can. Like, I completely see the whole left-handed, right-handed thing. And the chances are he is far better going right-handed. And we saw in the Supreme what he did when he tried to go left-handed. But he has won a Grade 1 at Leopardstown, obviously going left-handed. And he jumped straight as a die in last year's March at the Cheltenham Festival when he was beaten 5 lengths. His RPRs, he went from 150 at Fairy House to 169 to win a Novices Handicap Chase at the Punchdown Festival. 169. In the John Durkin, when he was trading at 1-3 in running, he came down at the third last. 1-3 he was in running against Alaho. He posted an RPR that day of 169. We're guessing, I know we're guessing, but quite an educated guess would have been that he would have won that race and probably won comfortably. Then he goes to the King George and he produces...
Way too far out to say that. One of the
it was three out...
The, 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 The worst in play price you will ever see in the history of horse racing was Venn Ottery for the gold, for the champion chase. I think he traded at something like 2-1. He should have been 200s. And Asterion Falange was way too far out for anyone to be drawing those conclusions. Okay. But anyway, continue.
If you knew nothing about the horses and you stopped the race 10 yards before the third last fence, most people watching the race would say the most likely winner is the grey horse. That would be my opinion.
That's five furlongs out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you here.
Okay, mate.
But he goes to the King George and he posts an RPR of 171. That is 169, 169, 171, whereas the rest of them are not going in that direction. He would have, in my opinion, and again, it's probably guessing, he was 2.5 lengths down at the last. And just in those 50 yards coming down to the last fence, I thought he was closing on Tornado Flyer. I think he would have been beaten a length and a half max. He did his party trick and he's a nut job. He is just a bit of a doofus. He doesn't help himself. And he could look at his form figures. He's got FF in there. He's got UF. That's the Asterion Falange. That's the chance you're taking. But that's factored into the price as well. Like he's 9-2 for a horse that probably would have been beaten a length or a length and a half in the King George. And Brian Cooper obviously is getting to know him inside out now. There are risks attached, Bruce, but to me, he is the improving horse in the race and I'm willing to take a chance.
Okay, mate. This reminds me of, you know, the Sweet Spot, the golf show that I do every Tuesday with Steve Palmer. And he tips Thomas Peters every week and he never used to win. And one day I went for Steve, just like I've gone for you with Asterion Falange. Ah, what are you doing? Stop backing this blow. You stop tipping it. And then he went and won, didn't he? And I looked an absolute clown. I'm sure that will happen here as well. But anyway, that was Leopardstown. Thank you very much, gents. Let's get the rest of your Saturday fancies. Now, we have got some more TV action. We've got one at Weather. We've got a couple at Musselburgh. And then we've got the undercards at Sandown and Leopardstown. We've got all weather at Lingfield and Kempton. Loads to get stuck into. Birchie, what have you got for us? Do not give your nap away at this stage.
Okay. Edinburgh National at Musselburgh, 3:45. I fancy the Wolf. Totally unexposed at the trip. If he does stay the near 4 mile trip, I think he could be very well handicapped. Also fancy at Kempton, 4:55. Horse called Wonder Star El's Arm. I think he's well handicapped too. I thought he was impressive last time. He had to come right round the outside at Lingfield, lost a few lengths in running, but still won easily. I think he's one to keep on side. And the other one, Weatherby 3 o'clock, Foster's Island. Real favourite of mine. I backed him a couple of times earlier in the season when he won. Stepped up in class in the Lanzarote hurdle at Kempton last time. Pulled too hard early on. Did remarkably well to lie up with a pace for as long as he did. This is a big step down in class and I think he can resume winning ways.
For Emma Smith Chaston.
Yeah, she's good. She's well worth that £7.
Brilliant. Birchie, absolute brevity and quality as always. DJ, what have you got for us?
In contrast, over to Nick Jennings, 2:45 at Leopardstown. Good time Johnny steps up to 3 miles here for Tony Martin and Kevin Sexton. I love the way he quickened up after the last time at Leopardstown over Christmas. He's gone up £9 for that. He deserved every single one of that £9. They've always thought a lot of this horse. He was 9-1 Fernie Hollow in the Cheltenham Bumper a couple of seasons ago. I think 7-1 is a very fair price about Good Time Johnny. And just one other one, Bruce. In the 4:25, it's the Bumper. Big Cheltenham clues here. Facile Vega is odds on. It's What Unites Us did a piece of work at Navan last Saturday. I know Birchie doesn't like the tie turns, but he did a piece of work at Navan last weekend with the tie turns. And I know that everybody in Gordon's yard, including Gordon himself, were smiling from head to toe afterwards. They adore It's What Unites Us. I'm not saying he'll beat Facile Vega, and I don't think he will, because Facile Vega could be a bit special, but expect a big, big run from It's What Unites Us. He's 9-2, so if you're getting 2-1 without, I'd say take that.
Beautiful. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with David Jennings.
3:50 Leopardstown. Mount Leinster just has to win this handicap chase. It's a terrible race. It's by far the worst race at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's running his first handicap over fences off a mark of 1.35. As I said on a different show, he'd have to fall twice nearly not to win. He was 4-1 earlier on in the week. The field is whittled down to 9. There's 2-1 available. He'll probably drip because he's bonkers, but it's a case of if he stands up, he wins. And he could absolutely stray these and win by 20 lengths. So Mount Leinster, 3:50, Leopardstown Saturday.
Thank you, DJ. Birchie, what's your Saturday nap?
I'll go 5-star Getaway, 3:30 Sandown. He's a good horse.
Brilliant. Loads more great action to come. We're back in 10 seconds.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington asking the questions, David Jennings and Richard Birch with the answers. We've looked at Saturday, and now let's look at Sunday. It's another bumper show on ITV4. 5 races from the second day of the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown and 4 from Musselburgh. Let's crack straight on with the Leopardstown action. First up, we've got the 120, which is a grade one. It's the Ladbrokes Novices Chase, 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. And Galopin des Champs, many people's idea of a Cheltenham banker, is Fav here at 4-7. Master McShee is 15-2. Fury Road, who Tom Siegel price-wise tipped up for a Cheltenham race this week, is 8s, and it's 10s bar. We've got 8 runners. So hopefully they'll stay on the ground and we can have some each-way opposition to Galopin des Champs if the lads don't fancy the favourite. But they may well do. Do you, David Jennings?
Ah, yeah, of course I do. He's just class. He's deadly to watch. I loved what he did at Christmas. It was just glorious. It's only one piece of information, obviously. And if you read today's interview with Paul Townend in the Racing Post, he said, you know, I said to him that it was the best chase in the debut I'd ever seen. And I said, obviously, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. And he goes, well, I'm actually a glass half empty kind of guy. And I really want to see him do it again because he can't just believe one performance. So he wants to see him go and do it again. I think he will. I think he's absolutely exceptional. I think this race is actually reasonably straightforward because I think Galopin des Champs will win and I think Fury Road will be second. And one of the more straightforward assignments of the week from a tipping point of view, Bruce.
I haven't read your Townend interview yet. I do mean to. Well, what would you give yourself out of 10 for that one? Is that one of your better ones?
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 8, Bruce. I think it's an enjoyable read and he was in great form.
Good man. Okay, Birchie, what do you like here?
Yeah, I like the favourite too, Galopin des Champs. But the question I want to ask David is, what on earth has happened to Galliard du Mesnil? I mean, I was a big fan of the horse last season. I see he's 25-1 for this race. What's happened?
Well, he's been absolutely shocked by your pronunciation for starters.
I was going to say.
Galliard du Mesnil. You know what? I actually thought that there was kind of signs of regression at Punchestown last year when he won the grade one. I thought he gave everything in the Ballymore. And I know I've said this time and time again, but that Ballymore, what Bob Olinger did to Brave Man's Game and Galliard du Mesnil that day was just ridiculous to me. To the naked eye, it was ridiculous. And I just don't know if he's properly got over it. Yeah, the form behind Capodanno was fine from Nace, but last time at Punchestown, he never got into it at all. He has serious questions to answer now, doesn't he?
Okay,
so you're saying he went through the pain barrier at Cheltenham and he'll never reproduce his best again?
I'm only guessing, but I just don't know if he'll be the same chaser as it was over Hurdles. I don't like his jumping style either.
Right, the 150 at Leopardstown. The first task you boys have got is to give me the winner. The second one is to get through it without using the phrase flat track bully. It's the 2 mile, 1 furlong Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, a grade one, and Chacun Pour Soir is 5-6 Fav. Grenadine over from Paul Nichols Yard, ridden by Briony Frost, is 7-2, and it's 5-1 Captain Guinness, 16-1 bar, 5 runners. Who wins? Birchie.
Yeah, I'll fancy Chacun Pour Soir. He's obviously a bad traveller. For some reason, he doesn't seem to perform when he comes to England, but his record in Ireland is, you know, it's superb, isn't it? He's obviously a very, very, very high class horse. Grenadine, I don't think he's a... I mean, I know he's won a grade one, Tingle Creek and everything, but I think that race totally fell apart. I don't think he's a particularly, you know, high-grade horse. And I think if the real Chacun Pour Soir turns up, he'll win very easily.
Excellent. Do you agree with that, David?
Yeah, I wouldn't even rule him out of the champion chase at all. I think I mean quite serious here. Okay. He's 12-1 in the place for the champion chase. It's just Chacun Pour Soir should never be 12-1 for anything. They genuinely don't think there's much between Enoch Amin and Shaq and Persuad in Chloe Sutton. The one thing that obviously is worrying is he missed Christmas because he pulled his hamstring. Now, I've pulled my hamstring a couple of times. I have no idea if it's the same in horses as it is in humans. But in humans anyway, and I'm sure both of you have probably done as well, you just never know when it's quite back right because you have to put it to the pin of its collar. So that's obviously a little bit of a concern if you're going in at odds on, because you want to have everything in your favour. He is 5-6 at his favourite track to beat a pretty poor bunch of 2 mile chasers. And if there wasn't that little hamstring issue, and obviously they're running the Tinkle Creek, you'd be going, this is the greatest bet of all time. But there's just two niggling doubts in the back of your mind. But my advice would be get on the 12-1 for the champion chase.
I suppose the only thing is, DJ, when he comes cruising two out, he's going to be shorter than 12s, isn't he? It will empty out going up the hill and get absolutely thrashed by Shishkin and do you mean? But there you go.
Yeah, probably won't be Shishkin like, but I just think 12-1 is too big.
All right then, mate. 225 Leopardstown is the 2.5 mile, 5.5 furlongs. Bournemouth's Secret Orchard Leopardstown handicap chase. We've got 17 runners and it's wide open. Birchdale is 7-1. Blackbow is 7-1. Max Flamingo is 8s. Gallant John Joe 9s. 10-1 Fakir Dalen. 10-1 the Shunter and 14 bar. You can have first crack at solving this one, David Jennings.
I put up Birchdale earlier on in the week at a much bigger price, and he obviously still is catching your eye here. He's got 10 stone. He's actually a couple of pounds out of the handicap, but Mark McDonough has been booked to ride, so he takes off 7 pounds. So Birchdale is going to be carrying 9 stone 7 in this race. So he's going to feel like he's got nothing on his back whatsoever. And I thought in the Paddy Power of Christmas, I thought he was back. I thought it was the Birchdale that I fell in love with earlier on in his career with Nicky Henderson. He travelled like a dream in between to the home turn, and he doesn't stay 3 miles. He never did. He never will. This is his trip. This could be his day. Enda Bulger's got him back, and I still think Birchdale is the most likely winner, but the value is gone.
Will Birch tip Birchdale?
Yeah, I can't add to what DJ said. I love a horse with a 7 pound claim at the bottom of the weights. He ticks every box in my book, and I think he's very well handicapped. And if the real Birchdale turns up, I know it's a multi-runner competitive handicap, but he should win.
Okay, the 3 o'clock is the Chanel Farmer Irish Champion Hurdle over 2 miles. We were hoping for Honeysuckle versus Appreciate It, but Appreciate It has swerved it, so that leaves the race at the mercy of the miraculously wonderful Honeysuckle, who is 4-11 best. Zanahir is 6, Sanroir 12, and there's two others in the field at big prices. Penalty kick for Honeysuckle, Birchie?
Yes, I mean the two mile hurdling division at the moment is relatively poor, isn't it? Or I should say it's very poor at the moment, and she's just head and shoulders above everything else. Yeah. This is a great opportunity, and she wins this and she goes and wins at Cheltenham, doesn't she?
I would have thought so. If people are betting on the distance here, Birchie, what would you think she might win by? Because, I mean, Rachel Blackmore she has a good old test, doesn't she? She shouldn't do that thing where she goes 10 clear and then just starts pulling up with half a furlong to go and just about nick it. So what do you think?
Eight lengths? I think she'd be more likely to push her out at Cheltenham than she would here. Particularly sort of, with potentially fiercer opposition at Cheltenham.
Come on, I'm going to pin you down. How far does she win, mate?
Five.
What about you, DJ?
I go 6.
6, is that all? I think it'll be half the track, this.
Oh, do you want me to elaborate there?
Well, yeah, that's how these shows tend to work. I say something, then you say something. But go on, if you want a minute or two of silence, we can do that. But go on.
I can't really add too much. She's the best horse in the race. I think she'll win easily. I think easily in this type of race, especially at this track at Leopardstown. It's not easy to win by 20 lengths, like. And she's still running against a horse in Zanahir who's rated 159. So if she wins by 6 lengths, that's job done. I think Zanahir will be second and a clear second. I think she'll win somewhere between 4 and 7 lengths.
Okay, our last four wins beat Ronald Pump by 8, Charger by 2.25, Charger again by 6.5, and then Abacadabra's by 10. So we'll see. Not the best betting heat, but let's hope she comes through it unscathed, still unbeaten, and heading to Cheltenham with a 14-race unbeaten record intact. Finally at Leopardstown on Sunday, the 335, a grade 1, 2 miles, for the Tattersalls Ireland Novice Hurdle, and Sir Gerhard is 11-8 favourite. Three Stripe Life is 5-1, and then it's El Fabiolo at sixes, My Mate Mozzie at sevens, Statuera at eights, and 16 Bar. David Jennings, who do you like here in this nine-runner affair? Is there an each-way bet?
I think there is, yeah. I think Sir Gerhard will likely win, and it will be a quandary then to decide whether Dysart Dynamo goes Ballymore Supreme, and Sir Gerhard likewise. He's a very good horse, and he's achieved enough for him to be actually shorter than he is. If you are getting 11-8, I could say you could probably make a valid argument that he should be shorter. El Fabiolo, the second string, Sean O'Keefe rides, to me, is a very good horse. He's only raced once for Willie Mullins, and that was at Tramore on New Year's Day. Got a bit lost in all the action. The Dipper was on at Cheltenham. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. Beat very little. Tempo Chapter 2 was second. He was 2-7. But it was actually what he did in the first half of the race that impressed me. He's a big beast of a horse, and he travels so powerfully through it. And I was watching it, and I said to myself, he reminded me a little bit of Blue Lord, actually, who runs in the Arkell. Just the presence that he has when you look at him. He's 6-1. I think they do think a bit of him, including Willie and Harold Kirk. And if you are having a bet each way, 6-1 each way, a bit of El Fabiolo, who could be anything. I think you're getting a bit of value finding out if he could be anything.
Good man. Thank you, DJ. Birchie, what do you make of this race?
Yeah, I'm with the favourites of Gerhard. Liked him at Cheltenham last year. Like him this year. Think he's the most likely winner.
11-8. Excellent. That's the TV action summed up from Leopardstown. We do have four races at Musselburgh, and we'll see if the lads fancy anything there. I'm going to throw the floor open. Tip whatever you like on Sunday. We've also got a meeting at Kempton. So, DJ, what have you got for us?
Going to stick to my home patch, Bruce. Probably my strongest fancy of the entire weekend runs in the 4:10 at Leopardstown on Sunday. The Liffey Handicap Hurdle, formerly the Ladbrokes, the Schweppes, the
Irish Sport, Sweeps,
Carroll, all that kind of stuff.
It used to be the Irish Sweeps Hurdle when I was a kid.
Did, yeah. It's like Prince. It's had a lot of names. The cask Mate, okay? Now, again, it's kind of frustrating when you fancy a horse all week and then you just see the price plummeting all the time. But especially on shows like this, when the value is actually gone by the time you get to the show because they're betting on it so long. But Castmake was 16-1 and 14-1 earlier on the week. He's now at best price 13-2 because people have realised this horse could be absolutely chucked in. He was second as Anna here in the Grade 2 WKD hurdle at Down Royal back in October. He was only getting £5 from Zana here. He was banged there at second last. He made a desperate mistake. I thought he was value for probably finishing within three or four lengths of Zana here. He was rated 159. Castmate has run off 139 here in his first handicap. He's had a break of 100 days, but he's won on the back 149 there of a 149-day break and a 1,020-day break as well. He goes really well fresh. Noel Mead has won this race twice before with Glen Cloud and Ice Cold Soul. And I think he's had this race in mind for some time for Castmate. He's a real strong traveller, slick jumper, even though he made that mistake at Down Royal. And I think he's 150 horse running off 139. So that's Castmate in the 4:10 at Leopardstown.
Thank you very much. Birch, have you got anything else for us? Anything catch your eye up at Musselburgh?
Yeah, just one at Musselburgh, 240 Brawson. Very progressive. Martin Keithley's having his best ever season. I think he could win a really nice prize with this horse. And I think this is a stepping stone to an even better thing.
Beautiful. Gentlemen, thank you so much for that. There was a lot to get through there, and you've made some very, very plausible cases. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, there is a lot going on this weekend. Very easy to get carried away. Please only bet with money you can afford to lose. What's happening this weekend, Birch? Are you off the island, or are you going to stay on the Isle of Wight all weekend?
No, Charlton AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah, of course. What time's the ferry?
I'm booked on 10 o'clock.
Right.
£48.50. Too much, isn't it?
£48.50 for a return crossing.
And I'll get island rates as well.
God, blimey, that's a bit steep, isn't it? It's only just too across much. The water, is it? You could virtually swim much. It, couldn't you?
3/4 of an hour, yeah. £48.50.
Oh, my goodness. That's a bit steep, isn't it? Does that put you off the island, DJ?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, as Jamie Lawson would say. No, I wasn't expecting that. That's a quite... If you're going over there a couple of times a week, would you go over usually a couple of times a week?
Normally once.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Charlton are playing midweek, it's two times a week. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
You'd want to be.
Have you researched at the Isle of Wight since Birchie revealed that that's really, because the way you reacted, you thought it's just he's like Robinson Crusoe on this tiny little bit of rock on the sea, but it's actually quite big, you know. It's got shops and cars and everything, DJ.
Yeah, and people.
No electric cars, never.
Why not?
We're about 20 years behind everyone else. No one will have an electric car for a good 20 years.
All right, we'll see about that. Don't make anything else in about 5 years. DJ, I bet you're at Leopardstown both days, aren't you? Spinning those magical words into great stories. You looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah. But like, if you take away Cheltenham, obviously in March, this is probably the next biggest thing for us. So if you're a racing journalist and you're not looking forward to Dublin Racing Festival, you're in the wrong job, boy.
I haven't spoke to Kiehl's yet to see if he's coming over. Has he made any noises to that effect?
No, I haven't heard. I would have heard by now if he was coming over. I don't think so. I must give him a text.
Yeah, you should. Okay, mate. Right then, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Good luck with your tips. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we've got Maddie on Monday and the gang dissecting all the great action. And we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. We hope you can join us.